Morning, everyone. Good to be with you here again this morning. This past week, as I was trying to think of a topic and come up with a sermon here this morning, I was thinking about when I still used to work at the radio station in Grinnell. And one of my clients that I had at the radio station was a bookstore in Grinnell, located right there in Grinnell. And so I would call on them periodically, try to sell them some advertising. The holidays were a big time for them, Easter, Christmas, whatever the case may be, you know, and stuff. But anyway, one day I was in there, and I had to wait, which was no problem. And I just started looking, went to the Bible section. She had a complete section there dealing with Bibles. And I just spent time right there where she was on the telephone or with another customer, I can't remember. But anyway, I was just amazed that they have a Bible for everything. I'm looking on the shelf. Here is a Bible for teenagers. Here's the Bible for men. Here is the Bible for women. Here's the Bible if you're born on the 4th of July or whatever, you know. They just had so many. And I just had a tough time, you know, thinking, why is there so many different versions of the Bible? When, in my opinion, there shouldn't be. Because the question I have this morning for each one of you that is gathered here today, Do we need anything beyond the Bible to know God's will for us? Do we need anything else besides the Bible? Because if the Bible is all sufficient, then we would not need any church, we wouldn't need any priest, we wouldn't need any religious leaders. Because if the Bible is sufficient, then we would be responsible for finding the truth for ourselves. Let's go to the first selection of scripture, and that's Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. And we're going to read this and see what it has to say there. It says, Philippians 2, verse number 12, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work it out yourself. Have the Bible and you work it out yourself. The instruction booklet of the world, the instruction booklet of your life, it's right here. Because after I read that, we can't blame anyone else if we choose to get on the wrong bus. If it's right there, and if we sway one side or the other, it's our choosing. Because the Bible also warns each and every one of us about false teachers. Let's go to 1 John. I want to go to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse number 1. It reads here, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." False teachers, false prophets. But the duty of spotting them falls upon each and every one of us. It falls on each and every one of us. You know, God speaks to us through Jesus. You know, Jesus commanded his apostles, and we all know this story, he commanded his apostles to take the message to all of the world. Take this message to all the world. And the Holy Spirit was sent to guide the apostles in all truth. Turn with me, if you would, to John 16 and verse number 13. This is John 16 and verse number 13. And it reads here, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." All truth. The Holy Spirit was sent to guide the apostles in all truth. And this was accomplished. And they passed it on to us. Let's go to 2 Peter and see what it says in 2 Peter. This would be chapter 1. And verse number 3. It reads here that, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." After reading that, I want you to notice that there was nothing left out. There's not like little bits and pieces. No, nothing was left out after that. And it was written down for us. It was written down for us because in 1 John chapter 1, once again, this is talking about God speaks to us through Jesus. And 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. It reads there that what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. It was written down for us. But these writings that we're talking about, that we're reading about here, they were not someone sitting down and deciding just to write some nice words. Because if we go to 2 Peter this time, 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks a little bit more about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20. And this talks about not someone just sitting down and deciding to write some nice words. "But know this first of all," it reads, "that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Some guys just didn't gather around the table and say, "Hey, let's write this, let's write that." These men were moved by the Holy Spirit spoken from God. You know, this was an act of God, is what it was. When we turn to Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3, it reads, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." Acts of other miracles confirm the word. You know, after reading that, you know, that's why Peter said that God's divine power had and I'm talking about past tense, had given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But I preached a sermon not too long ago and talked about this miracle thing. But here, the time of miracles was to end. It was going to be over and done with. And what I'm talking about, not when Jesus comes again, but when the perfect thing comes, the partial would no longer be needed. When we have the perfect thing, the partial would no longer be needed. The scriptures that we read each and every day have what is needed to make a person complete and perfect. And what's it say in 2 Timothy about this? Let's go to 2 Timothy. And I'm in chapter 3, verse number 15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. There it is. To make a person complete or perfect, everything is needed right here in the scripture. And when we look at the Word of God, we see the perfect law of liberty. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 1 and see what it says here. I'm at James 1, beginning at verse number 22. But prove yourselves doers of the world, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man will be blessed by what he does. You know, we've heard of situations, we've heard of people that they come every Sunday, they attend every Wednesday night Bible study, but something happens after Sunday and after Wednesday. Something about a Monday and a Tuesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. They just don't act the same. And I don't understand that. I mean, because Mark has talked to us Wednesday nights, he knows everything. God knows everything. He's always watching. He's always looking over us. You think you can just be good on Wednesdays and Sundays? That's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. You know, the end of the world was even prophesied in the Old Testament. Speaking of Wednesday night, let's go back to the book of Zechariah. And this is, I don't think we've gotten there yet, Mark. This is verse 13. And I want to read the first three verses of verse 13 here in Zechariah. And this talks about false prophets being shamed. It reads here, in that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who gave birth to him will say to him, you shall not live, for you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother who gave birth to him will pierce him through when he prophesies. Pretty drastic measures. And that is from the Old Testament of Zechariah. You know, that's why Jesus said there would come a time, there would come a time when people who claim to prophesy and cast out demons would not be doing the will of God. And I think that's indicated a little bit more in the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 7. Beginning of verse number 21. This is a familiar reading, should be to all of us. Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Thus, this word was delivered just one time. There is no ongoing revelation. It was just delivered one time. We are to limit ourselves to what God has revealed. We don't want to add to this book. We don't want to take away from this book. That's why it was so shocking to me, like I started the sermon with, the bookstore. And they just had each and everything for teenagers, for grade schools, for man, for woman, you know. The Bible's the Bible of the Bible. But we are to limit ourselves to what God has revealed. It is not to be altered. Simple. It is not to be altered. What's it say in Galatians? Let's go to Galatians. And this time, chapter 1, Galatians 1. And we're going to start at verse number 6. Galatians 1. In verse number 6. And this talks about the perversion of the gospel. It says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and you want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. For I am now seeking the favor of man or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You can't do both. You do one or the other. Serve man, serve Christ. You know, the book of Revelation was not to be changed. If we go to Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse number 18. And this is where I was talking about, we don't add to, we don't take away from. We're in verse number 18 of Revelation 22. It reads here, I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which was written in this book. You don't add to it, you don't take away from it. And it's written right there. Okay. That rule applies to all of God's revelation. You don't add to it, you don't take away from it. You know, if someone claims to be speaking the words of God, the burden of proof is on them. That's when, you know, I'm up here, if I claim to be speaking the words of God and you find something that you don't agree with, by all means, stop me back there after services and say, Dennis, I don't understand this, or I disagree, whatever the case may be. But if someone claims to be speaking the words of God, the burden's on me. Because the statements must always be true. You can't fib about this stuff. You can't lie about it. You can't sugarcoat it. It always has to be true. And it cannot contradict what was already revealed. Even if the apparent miracles accompanied him. How about going back to Deuteronomy 13? This is in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 13. Beginning at verse number 1. It says, reads here that if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. And you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. There it is. That's it. You know, this Bible, this book in front of me, the sufficiency of it, to be useful, it must also be understandable. Because when we read, we have insight to God's word. And let's go back to part of Mark's scripture reading he had this morning. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. This time, though, I'm going to start at verse number 1. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. And it reads here, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations has not made known to the Son of Man, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working in his power. You know, if there were new revelations, then the Bible's claims of having everything needed would be false. There's no new revelations. You know, there will always be a need for teachers. There will always be a need for teachers. Because it's just a lot to comprehend by yourself. But if you have someone listening to you, working with you and stuff, let's go and see what it says here in Romans chapter 10. The there will always be a need for teachers. And I'm going to start in verse number 14 of Romans 10. And it reads here, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. The last comment that I have here this morning, though, out of all of this, the burden of the understanding of the Bible, what is right, what is wrong, what the commandments are, the understanding is on the student to take what you've learned and apply it to your daily life. You know, one of the things that we always do every Sunday is the invitation. If we have people that are in our audience today that are not a Christian and would like to become one, we have everything ready for you. We can help you in any way. You know what those commandments are. We need to hear Jesus. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We're talking about sins. We need to repent of those sins. We need to repent. We need to confess Jesus. We need to be baptized, fully immersed in water. And when you come up out of that water, the old man of sin is still down there, but you're new. You need to be baptized. And last but certainly not least, and I say it every Sunday that I'm up here, we need to be faithful always, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays. Because, folks, he's looking down at you each and every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So, if there are those in our audience that need the prayers of the saints, if you're having a tough week, or if we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, we ask that you please come forward and we sing the song of invitation.